This approach assumes the following: that history is a kind of linear development, beginning at the beginning of time and unfolding as a kind of divine drama, culminating with the entrance of the Messiah, the Messianic Age, and the denouement, the unfolding of history into a perfect world. Basically, to understand that approach is to begin with the Bible itself and to read about a very key word in the Bible called covenant. We are speaking, what is history for the Bible? It is a history of God in covenant with his holy community, the holy community of Israel. And the unfolding of that relationship is a history of Judaism or of the Jewish past. Events occur not because of economic, social, political factors, but because of the divine will. The will of God is the overall governing principle by which we determine what events happen or why events happen. Moreover, this approach assumes that the Bible is itself a divine document, written by God himself or herself, and clearly subjected to those principles by which God acts. The causal factor of the experience that human beings have is in defining their relationship with God. Are they good? Are they moral? Are they upright? Or are they bad? Are they immoral? Or do they disobey God? And these factors, more than anything else, determine the nature of history. Exile, or the Hebrew word galut, is a condition caused by the Jewish people's breaking of the covenant, which will not be overcome until God allows them to repent and he sends his own Messiah. The notion, therefore, of exile and repentance, of land and landlessness, what we referred to earlier, now takes on a kind of theological import. Clearly, the notion of exile is not simply being physically outside of the land of Israel. It implies also a kind of theological casting out. God is punishing. You have disobeyed, you have broken the covenant, and therefore God is punishing you by forcing you to live in the diaspora in exile, at which point you will ultimately return when you have repented from your sins. This particular view, which is also enshrined in the liturgy of the Jewish prayer book, because of our sins, we were exiled from our land. Notice we were in exile from our land because of a political overthrow of the Israelite Empire or because of economic factors or social factors. We were exiled because we sinned. Our morality is the causal principle by which God intervenes in history and transforms history to create this condition of landlessness. This view, up until the modern period, is the dominant view by which Jews have seen themselves, have understood their own condition, and particularly have explained the condition of persecution, hatred, animosity towards them as a reflection of God's putting them, casting them into exile, and forcing them to punish for the sins of their ancestors. If there's such a thing as a Jewish traditional approach, there is also a Christian traditional approach, and that is the second approach that I want to mention to you. This sees Jewish history only significant as a prehistory of Christianity. In other words, only until 70 AD or 136 AD, when the final revolt of Rome has been crushed, do Jews have a real political cultural history. Jewish history, therefore, ends with the rise of the Catholic Church, engendered because of the Jewish people's alleged rejection of Jesus and their crucifixion of him by the Pharisees and by the later rabbis. Now, since the Jewish people have rejected Christ, following this theological idea, the church has become the true Israel in place of the original Israel. And what happens, therefore, to Jews after the rise of Christianity is really insignificant and pales in significance altogether. Why bother? Who cares what happens to the Jewish people? They have rejected Christ, and therefore their history is no longer enshrined in holiness. No longer are they the chosen people. What becomes important now is the history of Catholicism, the history of the church, the history of the unfolding of the Christian ideals of Jesus Christ. Now, you would think that this theological view, like the theological view, which I call the traditional Jewish approach, had waned in our more recent centuries.